I just want to say up front that I know a lot of people in who are professional stand-up comics, and there's this truism in the business, that if there's one thing any stand-up comic is going to love, it's hearing about how another comic bombed. And it's some sort of, you just want to hear about their age. It's some sort of schadenfreude. It makes you feel better about your own situation, kind of like watching Springer or Cops. I got to say, I'm really happy to see it's live and well in systems administration, because y'all are about to hear a woeful tale of what I consider to be my worst weekend as a system administrator. I want to start by introducing the other people who made this paper happen. Their other authors, Max Trefanides is a systems administrator in my group. Tim Kendall, a systems administrator from the material science division at Argonne, and Brian Finley works in the computing and information systems division at Argonne. All of these players will become evident as the talk goes on. So Argonne Central IT Services Group provides service for both the operations and programmatic sides of the laboratory. When I say operations, I'm referring to the business of running Argonne, and they're not really involved with the research at all. When I say the programmatic, these are the divisions that are funded by the science programs. These are the divisions that do the research. Any of the lab's divisions can use the services that are provided by CIS and typically free of charge. However, because the services that are provided by the central IT group are not necessarily conducive to, for example, running high-performance computing like we do in math and computer science, a lot of these divisions have their own IT staff. And once you have your own IT staff, it's awful tempting for a division director, for example, to say, well, I want you to run our email services, or I want you to run our file services, because I can tell you what to do, and that control is very nice. But there is overlap, and if we look at these three little blobs here, you can look at it as one of two ways. It's either the services that are provided by the IT groups from these individual divisions, or as the needs of the users. In either case, it still holds true that there is some overlap that happens between all of them. And the topic of this paper is email, which I think you know, everyone will agree, everyone needs email. It falls right into that thing that if this one group can provide it and we can use it, we should. Just to give you an overview of the team sizes from the two programmatic divisions, math and computer science, has an IT staff of between 7 and 12 people, depending on what you consider IT staff and how many students we have at the time. And MSD has 3 people. A quick overview of how mail works at the laboratory. Generally, it comes from the outside. It hits the lab's border mail router, gets scanned for malware, viruses, passed on to the routing, and then handed off to either individual mailbox servers or divisional mail servers or mailing lists. Up until 2008, there was really only the one service being provided, which was Exchange. And in 2008, a production level Zimber service was also offered, and this is what piqued our interest, as I'll get into. So the title of this paper is The Water Fountain versus the Fire Hose. You can guess which approach that we're going to talk about first. Before we went into this, we being MCS, had a pretty simple mail infrastructure. We ran everything ourselves. We were exposed to the outside world. The mail would come in and just get handed off to our mailbox server. The key part of this diagram is this bottom blob. That's what we're going to focus on. It was an IBM RS6000 PowerPC 604E AIX box installed into production in late 98 and running a very old version of Cyrus IMAP. This is also how it looked in 2008. All right, so let's look at a timeline. At the far left, we have the Jurassic period, then a bunch of stuff happens, and that's the end times. Okay, I'll back up a bit. In 1998, we had stood up this IMAP server. It was successful. It was too successful. It ran like a beast and very hands-off. So it never really crept into our radar again until about 8 years later when we started a new project to try and replace it. And then, unfortunately, as any of you in who do this for a living know, other emergencies popped up, and because it was running well, again, it fell to the backside. Well, during this time, while we were still forming this project to start a new one, the lab stood up this pilot Zimber server. And we thought, ooh, this is interesting because our users are asking for calendaring. We didn't even think about it for email. Our users are asking for calendaring. Let's see if we can leverage what someone else is doing. Well, then by the time we got back to planning it and we had been using the Zimber pilot for calendar and very happy with it, it kind of hit us. Well, this does mail too. We don't need to reinvent the wheel here. We just need to get everything over to there and we'll be set. So by 2008, after this change happened, we decided we would go with it. So we went down to this much more compressed timeline. You can see the details here, and it's in the paper. I'm not going to enumerate it all, but the key factor here is that instead of this long process, we then crunched down and ended up with this end of April deadline for getting moved off. The end of April deadline coincided with a maintenance weekend, and this was January. April was forever away. There's no way it was going to come that quickly. pardon me. We did the research on how to do this. I saw some comments when the paper came in, you know, talking about, well, you know, didn't you do any research on this? And yeah, of course we did. And all of our reading indicated that this was going to be a simple operation. This is mail. This is IMAP. IMAP is simple. It's just mailbox data. So we thought we're going to be awesome. We're going to do all the heavy lifting for the users. We're going to migrate all the data beforehand. And on the day that we switch, the users wouldn't do a thing, and we would be heroes. This was going to be simple. So I think you all know where this line of thought was going to get us. So we started with plan A. We're going to use IMAP. If you look at the wiki on Zimber, when they recommend how you're going to do this, they recommend IMAP sync. PerlScript, it's just an IMAP client, get the mail, get all the mailboxes, put it on the server. It's beautiful. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, that IMAP server cliff was really old, and it had a very old install of Perl. It was also our production machine. Installing new software on it was getting to be kind of scary because we were convinced at any moment that this machine was going to fall over. It was showing signs that it was not long for this world. Its Perl was so old, its mail libraries, there was no SSL to be had. We were only accomplishing SSL through the clients, just through a wrapper. So it was so overtaxed that on top of all of that, that we couldn't even run the scripts on it if we wanted to because it was already having high loads just from doing its job. So we stood up a box in the middle that was a nice beefy box. It was what was going to eventually become our mail server before we switched gears. And then this thing was going to do the pulling off of the mail and putting it onto the server. We found we wanted to parallelize this as much as possible to get the data off, so we had to find the optimum number of syncs that we could do at one time without affecting service. And we found it. It was two. So this was slow. We did the calculations and realized that this ain't going to be done by April. So we let it go as a worst case because, you know, you don't back out anyway, but we started to look at other options. So we came up with plan B. We would rsync the data from the mail server over onto the new server. And we tested this concept by syncing it to the test Zimber server. Moving all the data over, then there were server-side scripts we could run that would import all this data into the mailboxes. And then as a last step, we'd run IMAP sync again, but this time it's not transferring messages, it's just transferring flags because the Cyrus server kept its read and unread and other message flags in a separate file that was not going to be handled by any of these scripts. And in testing, this actually looked pretty reasonable and we could get the data rsynced over what we thought in a reasonable time, and it turns out we could. But we couldn't, again, do this on the production Zimber server because that was production at this point. So we did it on the test server. And then once we were done, we'd just mount that disk directly on the Zimber server and we'd perform the import there. Surely this plan could not fail. And again, with the learning. Despite what Staples would have you believe, there is no easy button. Everything is more complex under the surface than you would think it is. So we would find some plan that worked on paper, but an implementation did not hold up as expected. It was like a lesson in Murphy's Law. The disk to which we rsynced it was, the performance was slower than we expected. We chalked it up to NFS slowness because this was a virtual machine going through an NFS server to a tier 2 SAN, and we thought, okay, once we get over on the production server, this will be a direct link. We won't be going over NFS. This will work fine. Well, turns out that the architecture didn't allow that, and we still had to go through NFS, so we still had the same slowness issue. Still faster than IMAP syncing all the messages. Some mailbox produced name collisions. I love Zimbra as a piece of software, but if you're going to it, something to remember. Namespace is flat in your folder structure, including calendars and contacts and that sort of thing. So if you had a mailbox named calendar, for example, that would conflict with your main calendar. Likewise, in the case of when you have high-level people, executives having their calendars managed by a secretary and their email, it wouldn't be uncommon for them to have an email box with the name of that person and a calendar with the name, bang, collision. We had rsyncs abort and restart at various points because of filling disks, log files, running amok, general, you know, fat fingering of log rotation scripts, that sort of thing. In the end, instead of a four-month window, because April would never come that quickly, we ended up starting from square one about 2 weeks before we had to do the switchover. Now, I want to point out again that the April 25th deadline, it seems kind of arbitrary. Why not just back off of that? It was scheduled to be a maintenance window lab-wide. We'd already done a lot of work to get that done. That alone is not reason enough. However, the next opportunity for that kind of window was going to be in August, and we were honestly convinced, to a person, that this machine was just not going to last that long. We were starting to, I'm pretty sure in some cases, lose mail. So, we enter the month of April, wherein we all become well acquainted with the 2x4 of knowledge. Starting from square one, yet again, we had our method down. Our scripts were running. We were picking up stragglers. Spot checks showed everything was going well. We had some large mailboxes that were taking a lot longer than we thought they should, but you know, we got through it. So as the final weekend approached, we went into that morning, Saturday, April 26th, with optimism that we'd overcome everything that we've seen. So that morning, we discovered that it was taking a lot longer than we hoped. And it was supposed to be done by then, and it wasn't. So we made the decision that we would throw the switch on delivery. So at this point, all new mail that came in, instead of going into the old mailbox and later getting transferred over, was just going to go over to the new mailbox. This is significant. We were spot checking the logs later, and we showed that behavior that we expected was not happening. We thought we had configured the IMAP sync command to care about messages that were not in the source but were in the destination. We thought that. We were wrong. And as a user's mailbox would get hit, it would run the sync and say, well, all of these new messages aren't in here. Bye. Yeah. Luckily, we had redo logs. That saved our butt. Our estimation of when the syncs were going to complete were punch-drunk late-night calculations based on progress through the script. Our heaviest users in terms of messages are up in our biggest mailbox, the name begins with a Z, so that's a good indicator right there. The back end of the alphabet was really loaded with those users. IMAP would time out on larger mailboxes. We'd get incomplete syncs. Ultimately, we just ended up letting the users have access to the data on Sunday night and said, let us know how this looks, and we know that some things aren't complete yet. Well, by Monday morning, it was evident that all of these incomplete syncs meant, sadly, all of that synchronization work that we had done was for nothing, because we couldn't trust the data. We had users that had years, 5, 6, 7 years worth of data, and they would come to us like a few days later and go, oh, this mailbox from 2003 is empty. Oh, okay. Obviously we can't have them spot check all their mailboxes. So we said, it's all suspect, forget it. So we move into May. We did what we should have done from the start, which is We said, here's your new mailbox. This is where all your mail is going. Here are instructions on how to configure your mail client to get any messages you want to keep from A to B. And if you need help, let us know. Our users were fantastic. They, every chance that I will brag about my users. They really do understand that systems administration is not as easy as many people think it is. And they were on board with this. It took about a month, and there were some significant hand-holding, and I personally, for people who were important enough, moved all their mail myself on my computer while I'm doing other work, and we got it all done in about a month. And the server that we were convinced was going to die stayed up through this. In fact, I'll tell you something a little about that later. So then we were done. So now let's move on to the material science division. This portion of the talk is much shorter and much less exciting because they learned from us. Before they did this, mail typically went through the lab servers. They didn't run their own external mail servers. And it would just follow the path of the red arrow and drop into their own mail server. And at the end of this process, the only change that was going to happen is that that arrow was going to shift over to the Zimbra server. Handful of the users ended up in Exchange. Most of them ended up in Zimbra. So their only real goal was to get the data from point A to point B and then flip the bit on the relay server. Pardon me. We all got together before they even decided to do this and said, are you guys comfortable using this? And I said, and my team and I said, yeah, we're fine with it. And then after we all had it done, we said, we still have a lot of faith in the service, but go slow, don't try to do too much at once. Their plan got a lot easier because they were fortunate enough that they had, Zimbra had released Zimbra 5 in the interim. We were doing this on 4.5. Zimbra 5 had this wonderful option where you could go into an account, punch in some IMAP credentials, and just let the server on the back end suck all these messages in. That's how they did their migration. It took all the folder structure, everything. It was beautiful. They barely had to lift a finger. Just a handful of mailboxes here and there when there was corruption that stopped those things from working. So theirs went off largely as planned. They did have some pitfalls because when we did it, we were the only real users of the system. Any slowness or performance hits were only going to affect us. When they did it, we were already on it and using it as production. And we felt the performance hits for when they were doing something. For example, they were indexing attachments. When you're adding 400 users in and all those attachments, that can really eat up the processor. But generally, it was OK. So what do we do? Hindsight is 20/20. It's very easy to say what we did wrong. From the surface, it just seems like, man, if we just waited, we could have just used this tool and life would have been great. It's not necessarily true because our problems were more with the old mail server, and even using our testing showed, for example, that using the new IMAP scripts on Zimbra to pull the messages off would have failed in the exact same way that we were seeing before because our old server was falling over. It wasn't the fault of the new machine. But if you have the time, obviously, yes, you want to do it as slow as you can. So one of the comments that I received on this paper essentially boils down to, you didn't do enough testing. And my answer to that is, I know, I'm in the future now too. The biggest lesson learned is that we should not let a well-functioning system allow us to be complacent in our hardware and software refreshes. Putting off the inevitable is only going to worsen the matter. In our case, it wasn't simply complacency, but a larger confluence of events, including limited funding, turbulent staffing, changes, reorganizations, and a general lack of time. This allowed the situation to reach the point that it did, and it's important to remember that the longer a system is left alone because it's running just fine increases the likelihood that it's going to grow roots that you don't necessarily even recognize. So if you stay on top of it and keep your documentation current and keep it in the general consciousness of all of your admins, you're going to fare much better. Don't try to be a hero. This is very easy for us to do. You kind of get the Scotty on the Enterprise feeling when you pull off something like this. But the truth is that every once in a while, Scotty should have just told Kirk to cram it. If you make the exceptional be the norm, then anything less is unacceptable. So don't be too heroic. And I mean, this is nothing new, but it's true. Eventually, we did let our users do the own migration. It helped clean things up a little. I don't know if they see that as a benefit, but I did. We did get some people who went, yeah, you know, I really don't need that mail from 98. We went, awesome. So long, then. So just as an epilogue to this, we took the lessons learned from this paper, and we just moved into a new data center. And that's a physical move, but we did it. And we used the same procedure here with the staged approach. And it went very well. We even had time to develop a prototype of air hockey in the machine room using vented tiles and foam packing material. And it works phenomenal. So we're going to start writing the rules for that. I'm thinking that we need to have rolling chairs and borders, but it's quite impressive how well that works. Also, the mail server that we were so afraid was going to crash by the end of April in 2008, we turned it off the weekend of this move. It was going well and strong until then because we were still trying to extract all of these routes that had taken in. I know it's not going to bother us anymore because this is its brain. It will be hanging on a plaque in my office. Yes, and we're very happy. And that's my time. Does anyone have any questions? Thank you. No?
Marvelous. Surely somebody's got a question. If only about the air hockey.
It is pretty fun.
Okay, so the air hockey, is it like regular hockey rules? Do you have a goal?
We're still trying to devise it. There's going to be goals. There are some people who are solidly in the camp that it should follow the rules of Calvin Ball, and that's very tempting. But you know, we do have safety regulations to bear in mind. We put this at the back of the machine room, so you can't really see it from the windows. But right now, it's a 3x8 court, but we're going to go about 12x16 or 12x18.
And drill your own tiles, right?
Oh no, we've got a ton. Okay. This is a 25,000 square foot data center, of which we're using about a quarter of it right now. So we got a lot of tiles. So this is going to be fun.
All right, a real question at the back, please.
A real question. Why did you move away from IMAP since it's available on Linuxes and various things as a product?
We were going to stand up our own replacement Cyrus IMAP server. But what it boiled down to was we knew we were going to use Zimbra for calendar. And we came up with all these plans for being able to support both, but it's just a world of hurt because the way that these two interoperate with invitations to meetings and that sort of thing, halfway down the process we just realized, you know what, we can just use this for mail. It's there. It uses IMAP. We still have IMAP clients connect to it. It does pop. It is functionally everything that we were going to do, except the difference is now instead of just me and one of my team members running it, there's now about four or five people running it across a number of divisions because we're all running it cooperatively. And that greatly reduced our administrative load. Yes, sir.
And the next question from Tom, and you better not be about Google Mail.
No, I was going to ask with the air hockey game,
yes.
Just a suggestion that anytime a team wins, they get to throw the floor puller. And wherever if it lands on a floor tile and makes a good stick,
uh-huh.
They get to take the floor tile. And when you run out of floor tiles, then the game's over. Thank you.
That's a 4 foot raised floor, so that would be really interesting.
Your game needs an element of danger.
It does.
Yes. I had a question about. When did you ever consider using an IMAP proxy? That would, when you log on to the proxy, it would decide either this is not migrated yet, so this user goes to the old server.
Oh, I see what you mean. Have that front end and then determine whether they were migrated or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it didn't occur to us primarily because that would have required the assumption that our old mail server was actually going to live through this slow process. Had we done a slow process, I think that would have been exactly the right approach to take. But because, you know, we felt like we were, you know, you could see the little fuse going down to the stick of dynamite in our eyes, and we really thought that we didn't have that long to pull this off. In fact, at one point we thought we were going to have this machine does die, and we were going to physically take the disk and go plug it into the new server to finish the migration. So at no point did we ever think we were going to have both going at the same time.
Okay.
Anything else?
Anyone else?
Thank you all for coming.